From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Mysteries of the Afterlife. Here's what's happening in this just in. Six people killed in Bakersfield, California tonight. Police describing it as a mass shooting. The dead include five victims and a suspect. It's not clear why the man went on a rampage. Apparently, there may be a connection between the shooter and the victims. Police reporters and all of them on the scene say the deceased have not yet been identified. The suspect went to a trucking business with his wife and confronted another person. The husband then shot that man, then shot his wife. A third male was pursued and shot to death by the husband. Police eventually shot the shooter. Six people dead, including the shooter in Bakersfield, California tonight. Hurricane Florence has been downgraded to a Category 2 storm, but it's still considered an extremely dangerous and life-threatening storm. Florence's nighttime winds were down to 110 miles an hour from a high of 140, but authorities warned it will still be an extremely dangerous hurricane when it hits landfall. Still aiming for the Carolinas. Weathercaster Scott Stevens with us. Scott, I trust and pray this thing goes way down to a tropical storm before it hits. What do you think?
I like your attitude, George, but I'm glad to see that they have evacuated and a lot of people have left that area. And like Harvey, it's going to be the sustained rainfall event. That is going to be the major event. That and the thing, Florence just has nowhere to go but to sit along the coast with a high-pressure ridge to the northeast, to the north, and to the west. It really, she has nowhere to go. So she'll batter the coast with 80, 90, 100, maybe 110-mile-an-hour winds for many hours come Thursday and probably into early Friday, but it will be the sustained flooding that becomes the damaging event.
Thank God it's not a Category 4 when it hits.
It's true, and there's a very small window now for it to re-intensify. It's taken a lot of beating from shear on the south and southwest side of the storm, so that's kind of opened up a part of the core and weakened it, so the window for re-intensification begins to narrow up. But it truly, like Harvey last year, will be the sustained rains ashore. Some of the models this evening are generating between 36 and 40 inches worth of rainfall. And knowing the kind of farming, the rains that have already been in place up there, it's going to be a mess.
All right, Scott, thank you. Well, let's try something that only coast-to-coast listeners will understand, a little intention experiment. Let's try to slow this thing down. Think about it. Think about this Hurricane Florence and just think of it slowing down, all of you, and let's see what happens. Hey, who knows? It's worked before. Well, there will be 18.1 million new cases of cancer and 9.6 million people will die from this disease worldwide this year. The rise from 14 million cases and 8 million deaths in 2012 is partly due to a growing and aging population. The figures suggest 1 in 5 men and 1 in 6 women will develop this disease in their lifetime. The Food and Drug Administration is considering a ban on flavored e-cigarettes from Juul Labs and other companies as it grapples with an epidemic of youth e-cigarette use that threatens to create a new generation of nicotine addicts, they say. Middle-class income rose to the highest recorded levels in 2017, and the national poverty rate declined as the benefits of the strong economy lifted the fortunes of many Americans. The average U.S. household now earned $61,372 last year. It's pretty good. The United States will likely surpass Russia and Saudi Arabia and will become the world's largest crude oil producer earlier this year based on preliminary estimates. How about that? After months of speculation, Apple finally took the wraps off its new iPhones, including the iPhone X's Max, its largest iPhone ever. The iPhone X's Max, which has a 6.5-inch screen display, was shown at the product unveiling in the Steve Jobs Theater in California. It has 3.3 million pixels and is the biggest display ever on an iPhone. Apple also introduced a 5.8-inch iPhone X, and it's made of surgical-grade steel, covered in new glass, comes in gold, silver, and space gray. Let's check in with our expert, Lauren Weinstein. Lauren, what do you think of all of this?
Wow, the excitement is just, what's the right word? Underwhelming. That's the word. I mean, yeah, these are nice devices, but at some point you've got to admit we're sort of reaching a plateau of sorts here in terms of how consumers view these phones.
And how many phones can you come up with?
Well, these are all good pieces of technology, but how many people really care that these are the first phones to use 7-nanometer processes? And you know, they have faster CPUs. Yes, they have bigger screens. They have more pixels. They're brighter. The batteries last a little longer. All these good things. But really, last year's phone was really good enough for 99.999% of the
people. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, and beyond that. So there's going to be a certain number of people who are going to line up and they say, well, I've got to have this one because it's a little bigger. But really, you can see there's some retrograde action going on here, too. So, for example, obviously the prices are higher, right?
Of course.
Last year they were $699, $799, and $999. This year they're $749, $999, and
$1,099. Oh, wow. Well, they'll probably sell a whole bunch of them.
Oh, yeah. And they're not even including the headphone jack adapter anymore, so you got to go out and buy that. I'm not down on these phones. I want to be clear about that. But it really turns out that most people don't really ever use these features. I've got a phone. It's got all kinds of fancy display features that you can have. I keep them turned off 99% of the time because I'd rather get more time out of the batteries. Because when you look at it, you still got battery problems on these things.
And these iPhone Xs, as I call them, they're called iPhone Xs, right?
Yeah, and I think they tried to label it this time by putting the S on there, so it would be really hard to say tennis, you know. So that, you know, you're supposed to say, you know, XXS instead of 10S. I mean, the naming of these things is an entire crazy world unto itself now. But they'll sell a lot of them, and the next year they'll sell even more. But there has been overall a slowdown in the industry. It's hit on the Android side,
mm-hmm.
It's hit on the iPhone side, because people are finding that last year's model, or maybe the model from the year before that, are still working well for them.
And they're paid off.
And not only that, the prices go up in such a way that these become significant purchases to most people. Now, the reason that it's hard to hold on to some of these phones, and this is really a problem, is that sometimes it's hard to, you know, keep them updated because, you know, there's a planned obsolescence in these systems. Apple is pretty good about that. It's a tougher problem on the Android side because of fragmentation. But let's face it, for most people, they don't need the latest and greatest phone every year.
All right, Lauren, thanks so much. Great technology talking to you. A passenger flying from Germany to Russia caused a stir when it was discovered he was carrying 20 snakes in his bag. Jeez. The man said that he had bought the snakes at a market in Germany. A story we have at coasttocoastam.com. You've got to go take a look at it. A Jewish group says that end times biblical prophecy could be fulfilled. It's called the Temple Institute. They've announced the birth of a flawless all-red heifer that could pave the way for the fulfillment of a major end times biblical prophecy. The reddish-colored female calf was born in Israel on August 28th and is being raised in accordance with Jewish laws. In Jewish theology, the red heifer is essential to the rebuilding of the Third Holy Temple in Jerusalem and will be needed to be sacrificed to complete the ritual of purification for the temple. Jews believe this event is part of the process that could mark the coming of the Messiah and the final judgment. And the significance of the red heifer also relates to Christians, who believe the completion of the third temple is a symbol heralding the second coming of Jesus. Now, what does this all mean with end times? In a moment, Pastor Paul Begley joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Dory with you. Pastor Paul Begley is a fourth generational preacher following after his father, grandmother, and great-grandfather. Pastor Paul hosts the weekly telecast of The Coming Apocalypse on the World Harvest Television Network on DirecTV channels 367. He reaches some 40 million homes throughout North and South America. And as an internet radio talk show host, the pastor broadcasts Coming Apocalypse, and definitely see that story about the red heifer. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, George. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be here.
And you're close to St. Louis. I just left there. We should have gotten together.
Well, I'm actually from Indiana, but I'm on my way to Branson, Missouri, and I'm in St. Louis tonight.
Well, enjoy. How's the weather out there today?
Perfect. Beautiful day. It's a great time in the fall, and we're far enough away from the storm, Hurricane Florence, we're going to be okay.
Just my luck, it was hot and rainy while I was there for a couple weeks, but I'm back in Los Angeles where it's gorgeous as well. Tell us the significance, if you can, Pastor, of the red heifer.
You know, this is an amazing story, George, and the fact that in the Bible, of course, in the book of Numbers, the 19th chapter, it tells us that there has to be a red heifer for purification. They sprinkle the ashes into the water, and they would use it for purification. Now, nine times in history, the Jews have sacrificed a red heifer and kept the ashes for the sprinkling. The priest would put it in the water and purification. And when the ashes get down to about a third of the ashes left, you're to then offer another red heifer and mix the ashes together so that one generation goes to the next and you keep going. We haven't, and now it's been 2,000 years since the last time a red heifer ashes were used. Those ashes have been hidden. And, of course, the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., so there's been no need for a red heifer. And so now that a red heifer has been born in Israel, it's huge. I mean, you got the Temple Institute. You've got rabbis. I mean, I've been there. I was in the Knesset this year already. I meet with Rabbi Yehuda Glick all the time. There is absolutely an unbelievable groundswell, I guess is a good word. I mean, just incredible anticipation of the building of the third temple, and this is a sign that it's coming, the red heifer.
What's the reaction? Are they going crazy out there with the red heifer being born?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because the fact is, the fact that the Israel's in its 70th year as a nation, the city of Jerusalem became the capital of Israel this year. There was a blood moon, the longest blood moon of the century, over Jerusalem.
Right, right.
And now the red heifer's been born in the 70th year. It's just unbelievable, the anticipation of the third temple for the nation of Israel and the people of Jewish people.
Was this all prophecy as well, Pastor, that the fact that there'd be a red heifer and these other things would occur?
Yes, it is. What's amazing, in Isaiah chapter 2, it tells us that there was going to be a Jerusalem. First of all, the nation of Israel had to be rebirthed. That happened. And then there would come a time when literally, it says in the scripture, two verses, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem said, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." And then later in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, it talks about how that there's a menorah, and there's two different branches, two olive trees on either side of the menorah. Well, the only way you can have these, and the scripture says they're the two witnesses at the end of days. Well, the only way you can have the menorah is you have to have the temple. Then the menorah gets reestablished, and that coincides with Revelation chapter 11, with the building of the third temple and the two witnesses that arrive. So the red heifer has to be born to dedicate the third temple. They can't dedicate it without a pure red heifer. And miraculously, August 28th this year, it was born.
How rare is that?
Very rare. I mean, it's been 4 years since a red heifer was born in New Jersey that was perfect. It would have qualified. The problem was it was born in New Jersey in a dairy farm, and this red heifer has to be born in the nation of Israel.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you're talking one in, I don't know the statistic, it's one in I don't know how many million cattle would have to be born, and then it has to be born in Israel. So the odds of that small little country birthing a red heifer is way off the charts rare, and for it to happen in the 70th year, it's very prophetic.
Does this pastor tie directly into the book of Revelation, for example?
It is. Revelation chapter 11, John receives this revelation, and it shows him the blueprints of the temple to be built. And as it's putting out the blueprints, it starts talking about the two witnesses that come preaching at the end of days. Well, again, this need for this temple and the confirmation it will happen in the New Testament literally confirms what Isaiah said in chapter 2. And even Isaiah 44 talked about King Cyrus, how that he was the, you know, the Persian king who after 70 years, the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. He sent the Jews home to Jerusalem. He gave them the money to rebuild their temple. He gave them all their golden vessels back that they had stolen from the temple. And he even sent the masonries and carpenters to help them build the temple. And he did that after 70 years of captivity. What's amazing is President Donald Trump, when he declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and then moved our embassy, the U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem on the very 70th day celebration, May 14th, and confirmed that the city of Jerusalem was the city of our God, the city of the great king, which it says in Psalms 48, we had a confirmation. And until that happened, you couldn't build the third temple because the temple has to be built in the city of Jerusalem, and that had to be established, which is what Isaiah said in chapter 2.
Pastor Paul, where does the Antichrist fit into this?
Oh, he's lurking in the weeds, George. He's lurking in the weeds. he wants to steal the show. And after the temple is built, at about the 42 months, so 3.5 years. So this temple will get built. And I even asked Rabbi Yehuda Glick, I said, I was sitting there having coffee with him, and of course he's the leading rabbi. He's one a member of the Knesset, and he's the one really leading the push for the third temple, along with the Temple Institute and the Sanhedrin Court. And I asked him, I said, if everything worked out and we had a world peace, how long does it take to build the temple? He said, tomorrow there'd be cranes on the Temple Mount.
Jeez.
The walls are already built. They're in storage. It's prefabbed. There'd be trucks bringing in the walls. We'd be lifting the walls, putting it together. It'd be completed in 6 months.
Wow.
But it takes 3.5 years to fully dedicate it, okay? And in the scriptures, it says after 42 months, the Antichrist will walk into the temple of God before the worshipers of God and declare that he is God. So he's lurking in the weeds. I believe he's alive, and he's being groomed.
Does he know he is the Antichrist?
I think he knows he's one of the candidates. And I'm going to say that they've chosen at least 13 men. I'm going to use that number.
Now, when you say they, who's they?
Well, that's got to be... They would have to be very demonically. I mean, you can use the terminology. You can say it's the occult leaders. You could say the Illuminati. You could say the
deep state people.
Well, the deep state participates. They'll take their orders from the Illuminati, let's say.
Okay.
And I would say there's 13 candidates that are already being groomed, all of which realize they could be the one.
Do they want to be the one?
Yes. When people cross the line, George, and become Luciferians, they sell their soul to the devil. And once they do that, then they want to reach the highest pinnacle they can. That's part of Lucifer's characteristic, and that is to exalt himself above everyone, including God. And the coup d'etat, the ultimate prize, is to walk into the temple. And you have to understand, when they dedicate this temple in Jerusalem, this will be the biggest deal on the
earth. It'll be huge.
Right. The whole world will stop. Everyone will admire its beauty and the realization that peace has come. and they'll all be proud. I'm saying Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, everybody will be holding hands, singing, you know, kumbaya, feeling good about themselves as a people until, you know, they say peace and safety, the Bible says, and then sudden destruction. We know the Antichrist wants to come in and steal the show and declare he's God.
Hold on for a second, Pastor Paul. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk more in the next hour. We'll keep you for phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're with Pastor Paul Begley. We're talking about the red heifer, the calf that was born in Israel. It's an amazing story, which could be the sign of end times, the beginning of biblical prophecy here. Increased in earthquakes, volcanic activity, hurricanes. We're seeing all this. This is also part of the apocalypse, isn't it, Pastor?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, there's a, you know, the Bible talks about there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. And so today I'm looking at Hurricane Florence, Hurricane Olivia, Hurricane Isaac, typhoons, monsoons, blood moons. I mean, it's all signs of the apocalypse.
What's the Hosea prophecy?
The Hosea prophecy is found in the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter. It talks about, because of mankind's sin, God is angry and says the birds, says that the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the beasts of the field will start dying. And, I think it was the New Year's Eve to bring in the year 2011, 5,000 blackbirds fell out of the sky in Beebe, Arkansas.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, and then we had 2 million fish the next day die in the Chesapeake Bay. And then 212 cows died in Stockton, Wisconsin. And I did a video about it. I called it Dead Birds, Dead Fish, Dead Cows, the Hosea Prophecy. And ever since this happened, and it's been now over 7 years, massive animal deaths globally happening every day all over the world. It's incredible. It's really a prophecy that no one really talks about much, but it's an unbelievable sign of the end days.
Pastor Paul, what about the celestial events that could occur as well, asteroids and things like that?
We had more asteroids last year near miss the Earth than ever in history. The Bible talks about the heavens will be shaken, and with these asteroids racing by, sometimes, you know, at some point we're going to have a deep impact. According to the Bible, in the book of Revelation, in the eighth chapter, it talks about two impacts. One is it's like a burning mountain that hits the ocean, wiping out a third of the ships of the sea and a third of the fish of the sea. And then a second one, like a burning star, it's called Wormwood, that I think hits somewhere in land and poisons the freshwater, making it bitter or poisonous, probably radiation, and kills a lot of people. So we're overdue. We're going through a galactical plane. We have so many asteroids. And again, these are signs of the last days.
Doesn't Chernobyl, the Russian nuclear power plant that melted down, doesn't that mean Wormwood?
It does. It's quite fascinating. And even, believe it or not, Nostradamus predicted Chernobyl, as well as this one lady,
Fukushima,
Bulgaria. But it does. Chernobyl means Wormwood, and so I think that's a precursor to what's coming.
Look, we can't talk about biblical prophecy without talking about the mark of the beast, 666. In your opinion, what does that mean?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, it does require a technology advancement. 666 is the mark of the beast. It's the number of his name. It's the number of the beast. It is the number of a man, okay, in the scriptures in Revelation 13. So it is identification. You have to identify yourself with the Antichrist. It is something people will have to willfully do. You're not going to get tricked into it. But it will require a technological ability to manage the system. Without the mark, you can't buy or sell. So obviously it's a cashless society of some sort, whether it's an RFID microchip or a nano chip or some kind of implant in the frontal lobe Some people are worried about 5G. I can just say this. The technology to implement the Mark of the Beast is here. It's here.
I believe
the technologies has just about caught the prophecy.
Well, there's a company in Wisconsin that is having their employees chipped, and it's only a matter of time where I think more and more people are going to get this.
You're right, George. I mean, they're lining up for it. I mean, and a part of that is, as man's faith is decreasing in God, he is embracing anything that sounds cool. It's high tech. I mean, we've got a phone stuck in our ear everywhere. Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's looking at their iPhone.
Yep.
You know, and we're becoming we're becoming man and machine. We're interfacing, and it's also going to be adapted by the beast. I really believe that the Antichrist himself will be a technological genius. He will not only bring world peace or talk about economic, you know, and socialized
uplifting
fairness.
Things. Yeah.
Right. But he will be also a guru in technology, and that's going to be part of the appeal.
Are we going to be tricked by the Antichrist where we welcome him or her with open arms only to be tricked?
The world, yes. The believers or people who have really been reading the scriptures won't be. They'll see it coming a mile away. And guys like myself will be screaming, no, no, no! You know, I'm going to be saying, are you serious? But the world will get tricked. Basically, because they lack of knowledge, lack of faith, don't care, unbelieving, and willing to try anything. So, but you won't be tricked, really, deep down in the soul. You guys, you know, I really believe they're going to have to renounce Christ. That's part of it. That's why he's the Antichrist. It's just like right now in China. Right now in China, George, this past week, they're bulldozing churches, throwing pastors in prison, and forcing the parishioners to sign documents renouncing their faith.
Oh, geez.
So it's coming. I mean, this is part of the plan. It's coming.
Unbelievable. A few years ago, he's not with us anymore. He's passed on. A fellow by the name of Harold Camping, who ran some radio stations, claimed that the rapture and the apocalypse was here. All his followers sold their goods and belongings and everything else. It didn't happen. How many times do we hear this, Pastor Paul, and then nothing happens?
I can give you the number. It's 243 times since since Christ. There's documented 243 different times a date has been set for the rapture.
Does that include this Harold Camping's date, I guess?
Camping's was in there. Camping's was on there, definitely. Matter of fact, he got two of them. He predicted in May the 21st of 2011, and then he said, I missed it. It's October 20th.
You're right. No, you're right. And that didn't happen either.
I mean, he's 0 for 2 on that one. But look, no one's ever going to choose the date. No one can ever pinpoint it. Jesus absolutely told us no man knows the day nor the hour. So that's part of the deception. If people fall for that, is the scripture plainly tells you no one has that ability.
Now, by reading the book of Revelation and reading the Bible, my interpretation is that after this horror that we go through with the apocalypse, things eventually become better. Is that true?
That is true. I mean, there's going to come a time of the thousand-year reign. Okay, and the world will get better for 1,000 years. According to the book of Revelation, Christ will rule the world for 1,000 years. The lions and the lambs and everybody's going to be at peace. It'll be a whole different world for sure, and that's because Lucifer will be thrown into the bottomless pit and be bound in chains. And so evil will be ridded from the world. It will make a total different it'll be God's kingdom on earth.
What happens after that 1,000 years?
Well, this is the part in the Bible where I'm going to ask God about this later. It says, then he's loose for a little season. Okay, they let him back out. It's like, why?
Like he's on parole?
I'm going to have a conversation with God someday. Why? Just one question. Why let him out? You know, but it does say that. And I think it's the final test of man.
I was going to just say that. It's got to be some kind of test to show over 1,000 years what have we learned, and then they let him out, or evil pops up again, and then we go. But won't we go right back into the same mess we were in, or will we be better off?
Unfortunately, it says when he comes out, he will deceive the nations again.
And we fall for it.
People will follow him again. Whole nations, leaders, and the people. So, yeah, the test, we'll fail the test the second time.
Well, then what happens, Pastor? Is there anything beyond the release for prophecy? I mean, does it go on and on and on until almost the end of time? What's after that?
Well, after that, no, there is coming what truly the apocalypse. There's, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, it says the earth is going to melt with a fervent heat.
So we have a planet ender coming up after 1,000+ years.
We do. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth where indwells righteousness. God will put a final end to this. He gives, but man does get those tests. We all live through tests. I mean, George, you do, I do, every one of us. God puts us to a test throughout our whole lives. But ultimately, humanity gets put to the test, and our responsibility is choose Christ. I mean, if we choose Christ, then we're on the winning side. We will be put to the test. And if you look at the evil, I heard, again, another mass shooting tonight, you know.
Yeah, in Bakersfield, California. Sad story.
Yeah, the evil, the wickedness that goes on, the wars, the rumors of wars, all of this is part. He told us not to be troubled by this. This is all the beginning of sorrows. George, there's some horrific things coming yet, even probably before the Antichrist gets in his seat. The world will continue to spin out of control. We're on a collision course with the apocalypse.
I believe that. What about Middle East tensions, Pastor? What do you see there?
Well, I see this is one of the most prophetic times ever. You have Israel's now been a nation 70 years, so it's considered the fig tree generation. All right, you've got Ezekiel 38, Russia, Turkey, Iran, they're all around there.
China.
They just met Friday, just this past Friday, the leaders, Erdogan, Putin, and Hassan Rouhani, talking about how they're going to rule Syria, Assad. We're talking chemical weapons. The United States has been over there for 17 years, the Middle East. It's no better than it was when we went. It really is it's a ticking time bomb, but it's fulfilling biblical scripture. Even Damascus, the Bible says that Damascus will become a ruinous heap, and literally 70% of that city has been destroyed. So we're watching prophecy be fulfilled in the Middle East.
So you're saying we are in end times right now?
Absolutely. And absolutely. Without hesitation, it's because I've been asked that. I was on a television show, and the host asked me, he said, so when do you think it's coming? And I said, you're in it. You're in the middle of it. And the reason why I say that is when you study the scriptures, I get asked this all the time, George, where do you see us in the Bible right now? And it's like 15 different scriptures at once. They're in play right now. It's unbelievable.
We are with Pastor Paul Begley. His website is his name, paulbegleyprophecy.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We are going to take your phone calls with the pastor next hour as we talk about end times prophecy. And, what would you tell your children, Pastor, with what's happening on this planet right now? Little kids who are six, I've got, six grandchildren. I want to see them flourish and be happy. What do you say to them?
You know, I do too. I have six grandkids. That's a great question. What I do say is I tell them to be positive and plan for the future, because at the end of the day, no matter how many things that we see happening, knowing that we're closing in, we still don't know the day nor the hour. And what looks like to me could be any time within 10 years, maybe 50 years. I mean, God's timing is not our timing. And so you have to keep occupying. You have to keep going. You have to live your life without reservation and live your life and treat your fellow man good and get a pure heart with God and yet be successful. Go to school. Plan a career. And when the time comes to the end, then you'll be ready to go. But, we can't go high. Don't pull the covers over your head. Don't sit and tremble. live your life with victory.
There are times that I think there are wonderful people on this planet, wonderful people. Yet there are other times I think it's full of hatred. And at this point, I'm going to predict that I've never seen more hate on this planet in my lifetime. What do you think?
I agree with you. And I hate to have to agree with you, but you...
I hate to have to say it.
I know it. And, you know, you've been doing this a long time, George, and you know. You're watching the current events every day, I've done it myself, and I can tell you, never, ever, ever in history, and actually you can go back and study history, never, ever have we been... I mean, we got pandemic potentials. We got bird flu. You know, we're one mutation away. I listened to a speech by the CDC, and they're saying, look, the bird flu in China has mutated 7 times, and we're 1 or 2 mutations away from bird to man and then to man, to man, to man, to man. We have no vaccine to deal with this. We have no way to stop it. It would be worse than the 1918 Spanish flu. We have so many potential ticking time bombs. And then the evil of man. I've never seen Washington, to be quite honest with you, the swamp. I mean, I've never seen politicians and media personalities and celebrities and people at each other's throats.
Oh,
it's
me either.
Really,
it's every day.
Yes, it's every day.
And what I'm seeing, too, and just as a barometer, I am witnessing, when I'm in L.A., you see it more than any place, road rage on these freeways. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, people chasing people, cutting people off, giving people the bird. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, you know, George, I think part of this is the pressure of evil. The pressure of evil. And what I mean by that is it's like a black awakening. Lucifer knows his time is running out. He's got to make his final move.
He's all in, isn't he? He's all in. It's like a poker game. He's all in.
And he's running out of time. And he tried to kill Moses. He missed that one. Tried to kill Christ. He missed that one. Tried to stop Israel from being a nation with the Holocaust with Hitler. He missed that one. And now this is the last hand. I mean, all the chips are in the middle of the table. He's going for broke. And I believe that the spiritual mental pressure people are feeling is really just the evil lurking and the rise of black awakening of the last days.
I think you might be right. Pastor, for people who want to watch you, they can watch you on DirecTV Channel 367. What about your internet radio show? How do they find you?
My internet radio show is great, folks. Every day from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, go to my website at www.paulbegleyprophecy.com. I'm also on YouTube, new live stream, Roku, everywhere else.
But and Begley 12... is spelled B-E-G-L-E-Y.
Yes, paulbegleyprophecy.com.
We're going to take some phone calls next hour for people who are fascinated by this subject. And I got to ask you, is there a way out for us?
Oh, yeah. We got to keep your heart pure, okay? Raise your faith, you know, look to God, go through Christ, you know, let Christ be in your heart, and treat your fellow man like you want to be treated. Look, Jesus only gave us 2 commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself.
We're coming back for phone calls with Pastor Paul next on Coast to Coast AM.